Welcome this morning. We're going to go ahead and get started. It's good to see your warm, smiling faces on a cold, snowy morning. And it seems as though the groundhog said we're having six more weeks of this, so we'll see. But we're glad you're here this morning. Glad you came into the house to worship with us today. Many of you got to take part in this weekend in the sportsman's banquet or the ladies' breakfast with Miss Annie Chapman. And we had a wonderful weekend here this weekend. This sanctuary was full of men and women and children gathered here both nights to hear Steve speak and to gather around some good food and fellowship. And good news was proclaimed. And I do believe that souls were changed for eternity. And so thank you if you had a part in any of that. If you served or if you prayed or if you just came and enjoyed it yourself, thank you for being here. I know that Saturday morning that the women had a wonderful time together as well, sharing in fellowship. And it was a great weekend, and so we thank you for any part that you had in that. This morning we have a gift as well. We have Mr. and Mrs. Steve and Annie Chapman joining us this morning to lead us in our service. And so if you would at this time, would you help me welcome them to the platform?
Good morning. You're the brave souls, aren't you, that crawled out of bed? You got that mattress off your back and came on down. I forgot to drink water this morning.
Well, I add my good morning to you. Yeah, we ate and ate and ate. It's great food. When the rolls are served up yonder, we'll be there. That's a Christian's favorite song, in the sweet pie and pie. We'll start with an invitation to the Lord to be here. And now, stylistically, you're looking at a couple old folkies. So if you can put up with that and a little twang added to it, we'd appreciate it. But
we're actually old hippies. And that's the only kind of hippie there is now. We're going to sing this, and then we're going to ask you to sing with it. And it is an invitation that needs to be made and needs to be accepted. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, Thou art welcome in this place. Lord, in Your presence there's healing divine. No place we've ever sung that song was in the Tennessee women's prison. We were in a meeting room, and when we sang that, I had those women. Now see, this is a building. We call it a church, but this is the church. And when we say you're welcome in this place, of course the Holy Spirit is welcome in this room, but where He wants to be welcome is in this place. So I had those women put their hands on themselves and make that invitation. Holy Spirit, You're welcome in this place. And those women, we had church. And we were in amongst the church as they invited that work of the Holy Spirit to continue his work in him. I'm going to ask you all to do that. If you'd be so bold, just touch yourself and say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Yeah, here, but definitely here. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place.
Do just another chorus with you. We'll sing it through for you once, then ask you to sing it with us. It's a declaration of what we want for our future, and this is it. I want to finish well. I want to end this race still leaning on his amazing grace. I want my last few miles to testify that God never fails. I don't want to fall down this close to the line. I want to finish well. If you believe that, sing with us. The older I get, the more I mean these words. I turned 58 and more recently 67. So if you feel this way too, sing with us. I want to finish well. I want to end this race. I want to end this race. Still leaning on his amazing grace. His amazing grace. Last few miles. I want my last few miles to testify that God never fails. I don't want to fall down this close to the line. I want to finish well. So be it. And that's why we gather at a place like this, and sometimes in homes, and sometimes across tables at restaurants as believers, to encourage one another to keep walking and to keep trusting the Lord and be faithful. And we hope we can say a few things this morning in our brief time with you to encourage you to do just that. We come to you from the great state of Tennessee, but we are originally, we like to let it be known, from West Virginia. Anybody have West Virginia roots? Yeah. I bet we're cousins. Very proud of our heritage in West Virginia. That's where two things happen that are most meaningful to us. I want to tell you about the first one. That's where my mother and Dad came to know the Lord. Faith entered into the bloodline there on the soil of West Virginia. And for my folks, and Annie's parents as well, for my folks, it began with my mom. And I want to tell you, in song, her testimony, they were newly married, had a little baby, my sister, and mom felt like she needed to add to the family coffers. And so she decided to go to the little town of Logan, West Virginia, 12 miles south of Chapmanville, which is where I was born and half raised. And she decided to go to a nursing school and learn to do that. Well, she went, started going, but something happened on the way to school that changed her life. From the last house in the hollow, up on Godby Branch, she walked out that dirt road on her way to take a chance. That night school down in Logan seemed like the only way. They needed more to feed a family than just a taxi driver's pay. Her young
husband kept the baby, and she'd be back at 10. But it was 11:15 when she came walking in. He said, "How'd things go at class tonight?" And she said, "I don't know." Before I made it to the bus stop, Jesus saved my soul. 'Cause I heard singing coming from a church on the hill. Sweetest sound I ever heard, breaking down my will. I could feel it, the Spirit calling out to me. Now I believe, and that's why I didn't make it down to Logan tonight. He said, "I know you'd make a good nurse, but did you change your mind? And we could really use the money to help us make it through these times. And girl, it just sounds crazy to hear you say you're born again." She said, "If you'll just go there with me, I know you'll understand." Then I heard singing coming from the church on the hill. Sweetest sound I ever heard, breaking down my will. I could feel it, the Spirit calling out to me. Now I believe, and that's why I didn't make it down to Logan tonight. And it was only two nights later he went with her down that road. And when Mama tells the story now, the part I love most, I heard singing coming from the church on the hill. Sweetest sound I ever heard, breaking down my will. I could feel why I didn't make it down to Logan that night. And now I believe, oh, that's why Mama didn't make it down to Logan that night. One woman, one decision, changed an entire generation. And Mom and Dad were known to carouse and hit the juke joints, and they loved to dance and drink. And things changed that night when Mama went to the church on the hill, got saved, and then Dad got saved, and then began to feel the call to ministry, and eventually became a preacher. And the man he learned under was name was Steve Limings, and guess who my namesake is? So God be praised. And if you've never shared your testimony with your children, at least maybe written it down, make sure you document that for your kids and your grandkids.
It's very biblical that you would share your testimony, because whenever we sing that song, I always think of 2 Timothy 1, where it says, Paul is writing to Timothy, he said, "I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God." That's what's happened when Lillian and PJ blazed that path. All the generations have followed in that path of faith, including down to the grandkids. We only have, two? Is George? Well, Natalie, she prayed and asked Jesus in her heart. She was about 4 and 5, and she immediately went into her brother's room, who was 2, and said, you need to get saved. So there's hope for the little ones.
Well, a second reason that West Virginia is important to us, that's where we met back in the 1900s. In 1963, I was a junior at Central Junior High School, and Annie came to town. I was in eighth grade, and Annie came to town to go to the seventh from her country elementary school, and that's where we met in the halls of junior high school. It was love at first sight for Annie. And anyway, we got started dating in 1970, late 74, and got married in 75, and been walking together, now working on 43 years this March, right?
Yeah. Month.
And we still told the ladies yesterday, we still receive wedding gifts. If you, I'm registered at Boswell's Harley-Davidson, if you matter. Anyway, we put together a video, some pictures from our journey, and I'd love to see yours, but we get a chance to show you ours. And this is those pictures and a song that goes with them to celebrate these years together. Well, that's not meant to be funny, so. You have my heart, it's yours alone. You have my soul, till time is gone. But there's one thing of greater worth, I give it now. You have my word. You have my word. I promise you, long as I live, I will be true. Your love is more than I deserve. I'll hold it close. You have my word. That's about how long it's felt like it took to live these 42 years. 3 minutes. And wrap it up in a 3-minute song. It's just, you know, it goes by so fast. But we sure have enjoyed our walk together. And as you saw, we ended up with two kids, Nathan and Heidi. And then they married well. Grateful for our in-laws and all our grandkids.
Stephanie graduated from James Madison University.
Yeah.
Isn't that right here?
Yeah. Yeah. So our gratitude to the Lord for our time together runs deep. And speaking of these kids, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up, guys, and I don't know if you're making any plans, but I'll say something to you young dads here who have young children. As often as you can, take those kids away from your... That's a great gift to give your sweetheart, is to take those kids away from her and do something with them and give her a break. I noticed when I'd do this for Annie, she'd always seem so refreshed when I'd come back with the kids after a year. But sometimes just 2 or 3 hours, actually. But and then as often as you will, take your wife away from those kids. Get a babysitter. Call somebody and say, I need help. And, you know, ladies are not as apt to make that call for a babysitter. At least that's what it seems. Men, we don't care. Call them. Say, I need help. And take her out on a date. Take her out before it's too late. And just do that, and we encourage you to do that. Speaking of dads, just a real quick word to the fathers here. If you have kids in your home, Paul wrapped up being a dad in 1 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12. It's not that complicated, guys. He said to the Thessalonians, we have treated you like a father would his children. And he mentioned three things. We've encouraged you, we've exhorted you, we've encouraged you, and we've charged you. Exhorted, encouraged, and charged. What does that mean? Well, exhorted, of course, means teach them. In Deuteronomy 6, you know, talks about teaching them on the way. Just use everyday experiences to teach them spiritual lessons. And I propose that the outdoors is a great place to do that. Romans 1:20, God's invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. Take them out there into the great outdoors and use that resource to teach these kids in an everyday, ongoing way. Encourage them. What's that mean? Well, encouraging means when they fail, be there for them and then lift them up. Encourage them. And what does that look like? Well, here's one way it can happen. Saturdays on the baseball field, me afraid of the ball, just another kid on camera day, and the Angels still played in L.A. I was smiling in living black and white. Baseball caps and bubble gum, I think I've got a hole in my glove. 3-2, life and death, swinging with eyes closed, holding my breath. I was dying on my way to the bench, but none of it mattered after the game, when my father would find me and call out my name. An ice cream, a snow cone, a candy bar, a limousine ride in the family car. He loved me no matter how I played. He loved me.
I was dreaming of glory the next time out, but my Father showed me what love is about. He loved me no matter how I played. He loved me no matter how I played. He loved me. But none of it mattered after the game, when my Father would find me and call out my name.
There's a wise dad. That Bob Bennett song tells a great story. That dad seized a golden moment in the life of his child who had just failed. It's not if they're going to fail, it's when. And they'll do things that just, what? And like Nathan, when he was 4 years old, he came in the house dragging my hammer. 4 year old with an adult hammer? That's not good. What you been doing with that, Nate? He took me outside to show me. All the basement windows he could reach, he tapped them out. He just liked that tinkling sound. But here's what's scary. I said, why did you do that? He said, well, you never told me not to. You combine intelligence and a sin nature, you got a challenge on your hands. So they will fail. It's just being there to encourage them when that happens. And finally, he said, we've charged you. What does that mean? Well, you go on and read. It says, to live in such a way that you prove you belong to God. Charged. They charged the people. And we would charge you this morning to prove, live so that you prove that you belong to God. My dad did this a lot. Every time my sister and I would leave the house, he would always say these words. And I put them in a song, but I'll just sing the chorus. He'd say, oh, remember, if you're one of the children, you have a name wherever you are. Oh, remember, please remember, remember whose child you are. And he'd say that every time we left. And I got to, it started just bothering me. Why is he doing that? Doesn't he trust us? And is he interested only in his own name because he was a preacher there in a little town, kind of place that hee-haw salutes, you know, little place, everybody knew everybody. Is he just interested in his own name? But it was later that I realized he was saying, Steve, Jeannie, you are ambassadors of Christ. Remember whose child you are. And parents, and grandparents, you're welcome to use that when your kids are leaving the house. And now my mom calls me and she'll say, remember whose child you are. My dad died in 15. And I'll say, remember whose mother you are. But you can use that if you'd like to. But, you know, when a child grows up with this being inspired to live in such a way that they prove they belong to God, it pays off. I want to show you a video and a song here that will kind of point this out. Here's a man that's remembering whose child he is. Billy got a job down at the mine, working with some rough old boys, and sometimes they start telling those jokes that are way off color. And when they go in that direction, Billy goes the other, 'cause he's got a line he won't cross. He's got a light that he won't turn off.
He doesn't care what it's gonna cost. He's got a line that he won't cross. One morning somebody brought a magazine, and the boys said, "These are the hottest girls we've ever seen." And then they held it up to Billy, said, "Do you want to look inside?" And they started laughing when he closed his eyes. Cause he's got a line he won't cross. He's got a light that he won't turn off. He doesn't care what it's gonna cost. He's got a line that he won't cross. And then one day it happened. That old mine caved in, and all of a sudden the face of death was staring at all those men. Somebody said, "Go get Billy. Oh, he knows how to pray." Now they're all thanking God that a man like him was working that day. Cause he's got a line he won't cross. He's got a light that he won't turn off. He doesn't care what it's gonna cost. He's got a line that he won't cross. Oh, he's got a line that he won't cross. Amen, brothers and sisters. Stand your ground. And somehow God says, that's somebody you need to call on. He whispers to an unbeliever's heart and says, that's somebody you can call on. And that's who you are. That's who you can be.
I think there's a quarterback plan today that has set that line. I've read that Nick Foles is a Christian and wants to be a pastor after he's finished with football. Isn't that amazing? So, guess who I'm praying for today? I said, "Lord, whoever's going to give you the glory if they win, let that person win." I have a feeling I know who that might be.
My dad, I want to tell you very quickly, my dad, as I mentioned, died in 2015. He loved gospel music, and he tried his hand at writing it a few times, and actually wrote some really good songs. And one of them was, "It's Looking Up Time. Your redemption draweth nigh. It's looking up time. Keep your eyes on the sky. He's coming that way. It may be today. Children, it's looking up time." People would like to hear him sing that, but the one they requested most was, "When you get to heaven, you will likely view many smiling faces that will be a shock to you. But be very quiet, don't you even stare, 'cause they'll be just as shocked when they see you there." Yeah, the hankies would wave and the people would shout. He said, of all the things I've written, that's the one they want to hear. But Dad encouraged my sister and me to do what he and Mom did, and that's do family by the book. Live by the scriptures. And he said, you can't fight the devil without the sword of the Lord. So he was careful to do that. And so Annie and I have strived to do that. And there's a passage in Colossians 3:12-14 that's a great
passage for your family to live by. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Wow, wouldn't that make a great family? Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Wow, that's something to live up to. Now, what does forgiveness look like? My dad, I told about in Georgia, we were in a church similar in a setting like this, and Dad had passed away just months earlier, and I told about the congregation about the last words I shared with him as I was holding him while he died. And when I realized what was happening, and I think naturally he fought, but I said, Dad, just go on home. They're waiting for you. And I was referring, of course, to his family and friends who he loved. They're waiting for you. So I shared that at this church in Georgia. And this lady, Jonelle, I'll never forget her. She came up and she said, after the service, and she said, I appreciated what you said about sharing those last words with your dad. Could I tell you the last words I had with my father? And when she did, I asked her on the spot, I said, her name is Jonelle Barker. I said, Mrs. Barker, would you mind if I put that in a song and tell other people about your last words with your dad? She said, okay. So here's her story. He came down to his final day with something on his heart he had to say to his daughter from the heart of a father. He took her hand, couldn't stop the tears, and said, I let you down through the years. Wish I could do it over. I'd do it better. Lord knows I'd do it better. She stood by his bed and they both cried. She wiped the tears from his eyes and said, I understand. You've done the best you can. But would it help if I reminded you about the teenage hell I put you through? Oh, Daddy, here's what we ought to do. Let's call it even. We both had a bad run. Let's talk about the good times. We can say we both won. On the other side of heaven's door, you won't find love keeping score. We're forgiven. Oh, forgiven. Let's call it even. He said, I guess it's true what they say. A little child will lead the way, my sweet baby. What a gift you just gave me. Now I can leave this world feeling free. Nothing between you and me. No regrets. Oh, that's God's mercy. So let's call it even. We both had a bad run. Let's talk about the good times. And we can say we both won. On the other side of heaven's door, you won't find love keeping score. We're forgiven by His grace. Forgiven. On the other side of heaven's door, you won't find love keeping the score. We're forgiven by His grace. Forgiven. Let's call it even.
let's call it even.
I pray that if there's some grievance, as the scripture talks about, whatever grievance you may have against one another, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And that's what Jonelle and her dad did. And then not many hours later, he passed on to be with the Lord. And you can't take stuff like that into heaven. So deal with it now. God's given you the gift of time, the framework of time to deal with these things. May God give you grace and courage as you do that. Well, tell about the guests we had, and then we're going to end up with a couple more statements here. And then
I want to read a passage before I tell you about this. It's Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, "For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing." And I like this part, whether it is good or evil. Don't we think about God revealing the hidden things? We usually think that it's the stuff that we're hiding that we shouldn't be doing. But he said he's going to reveal the hidden things, even the good things. There's good things that we do that nobody knows about, that only God does it. He's going to reveal that too. Well, we had friends that sold their house, and they had about a six-week period before they could get into their new house. So they went and stayed with their son and his wife and kids, and they enjoyed his family about as much as they could stand it. And then they were, my friend was telling me about it, and I said, you know, we're going to be gone. We're going to be gone for a long weekend, and we're traveling. Why don't you just come and stay at our house, and it'll give you all a break and give your son's family a break. It's all good. And so they came, and we're leaving, and I said to my friends what you've probably said to your guests when they've come to your house. I said, now you all just make yourself at home. Don't you say that to people? You probably don't mean that any more than I do. We drove away, and I said, say what? Make yourself at home. Do you know what that means? You're saying, it's okay if you want to go in our medicine chest and check out all our prescriptions, and or go up into the top of the closet in that box up there, or in the back of the pantry back there, or up in the attic in that trunk, or out in the, go out in your truck and look under the seat and see what's in. Do we really want people to make themselves at home in our homes? No, usually, you know what we're really wanting? Y'all be a good guest and stay within proper boundaries. Now, when we ask Jesus into our hearts, into our this home, he does not want to be a good guest. As it says in Ephesians, he wants to make himself at home in our hearts. That means he wants access to all those places, all those little nooks and crannies, all those doors we've got locked. He wants access to that. Now, why? Why does he want access to all the parts of our lives and our heart? Is it because he wants to embarrass us? He wants to feel bad about ourselves, that he wants to see those places that we'd rather keep hidden? No, he wants to have access to that in the same way that a surgeon who opens us up doesn't do that because he's mad at us or that he wants to hurt us. The surgeon opens us up and takes things out because those things will probably kill us. And he wants access. So I want to encourage you. We ask Jesus into our hearts, but that's not quite enough. He wants to be Lord of all those places. Think about your life and those hidden things, whether they be good or evil, that he wants to see. My heart is like a house. One day I let the Savior in, and there are many rooms where we would visit now and then. But then one day he saw that door. soon. I said, Jesus, I'm not ready for us to visit in that room. 'Cause that's a place in my heart where even I don't go. I have some things hidden there. I don't want no one to know. Let me go in your secret place. So I opened up the door, and as the two of us walked in, I was so ashamed. His light revealed my hidden sin. When I think about that room now, I'm not afraid anymore. 'Cause I know my hidden sin no longer hides behind that door. That was a place in my heart where even I wouldn't go. I had some things hidden there.
That word to you is the same reason that my dad would want to say these words to you that he and I worked on in a song together that's out of 1 John, and it's a word to the wise, because Jesus will appear, and we offer you these words as we close.
We're going to ask you to sing with us on the chorus. You'll learn it real quick. My children so dear, I write to remind you His coming is near. I'm praying that you will be faithful and true, so you won't be ashamed when Jesus appears. When Jesus appears, Jesus appears, so you won't be ashamed when Jesus appears. You don't want to be ashamed when He appears, do you? Oh, my children so dear, I write to remind you His mercy is here. When you fall in this race, you can trust in His grace, so you won't be ashamed when Jesus appears.
Sing with us.
When Jesus appears, when Jesus appears, so you won't be ashamed when Jesus appears. My children so dear, I write to remind you, be of good cheer. How great is His love that washed you with blood, so you won't be ashamed when Jesus appears. appears, y'all sing that.
When Jesus appears, when Jesus appears, so you won't be ashamed. When Jesus appears,
sing it again.
When Jesus appears, when Jesus appears, so you won't be ashamed. When Jesus appears.
Hasn't this been powerful this morning? You know, it's great to have days like this when things are just kind of very different than from an ordinary Sunday, and I kind of think of it as an oasis for the soul. On days like this, it's just powerful, and thank you, Steve and Annie. I've been familiar with your ministry for a lot of years. Remember way back, I don't know, was it in the 80s when you did Turn Your Heart Towards Home? How many of you remember that? The Focus on the Family? And so appreciate your ministry through the years and how you have focused on strengthening and empowering the family to really be the family as God designed it to be. And we so appreciate that this morning. As we wrap things up here this morning, as you've noticed, the service is kind of in a very different order even this morning. At the end here, I have a few announcements, and we'll receive the offering. So if the ushers will prepare for that. This morning, a couple things we just need to remind you of, things happening in the church, and I'm looking through the window out there and see the snow's coming down, and the little boy heart in me kind of is happy when I see that. Now, I heard someone this morning say, I hate snow, or something like that. Judy, I heard that, and I almost said, one of those snow Scrooges, but I didn't say it. I said it now. I've heard her say that before. Everybody knows I love snow. If you've been around this church, I always say something in the wintertime. I pray for snow. I pray for all the people who hate snow. Anyways, the announcements. This is the week that life groups start, and they technically start today. I know it's Super Bowl Sunday. Every group decides kind of what they want to do with that. Anyways, don't forget to attend your life group. If you haven't heard yet from your leader and need more information, contact Kim Carnahan. You can just contact her here at the church. And she'll make sure that she gets the information to you that you need. Also, this week, Hope Distributed opened up their new building. I think that deserves a response from you guys. I heard it went great. As a staff, we went over on, I believe it was Wednesday, and just stood in a circle and had a time of prayer together to celebrate, because Thursday was their opening. And it's amazing. I'm sure Pastor Sam wouldn't mind if you even just stop by there sometime if the door's open and there's people in there. Just go and see what it's all about. It's an amazing facility. And this will allow them to serve probably at least three times as many people as they have been serving. So you'll probably hear about Hope Distributed growing and how we're feeding our community. But what you really need to know is there are more opportunities to serve because of the expansion of it. So if you would love to be part of that, contact Jenny Meadows. Her information is, I believe, on the slide right there, or on that one. I can barely read it, but her email and her telephone number is on that slide, I believe. Is that what's there? Yes. Also, Kids City Game Night, Parents Night Out, is coming up here on the 16th of February. If parents, if you want to be part of that, and we heard admonishment this morning that parents need to do stuff like that, get a babysitter, but this is an opportunity for you to do that, the church providing that. Circle K on your attendance pad and let us know how many kids will be attending, and we'll take care of that. So now's a great time to take that attendance pad, pass it down, and parents, remember to let us know if you are going to bring your kids out here on that night. So anyways, our ushers are here. I just want to share something with you real quickly this morning. Most of you on Facebook know that I'm doing a kitchen remodel because my wife documents it for everybody. And part of this project, I tore the floors. I kind of tore everything out of the room, and what was on one side is now on the other. Everything's totally different than it ever was before. And last evening, where there's a step down from that room into the family room, And the thresholds was, I had to tear it out and it was all destroyed, so I had to make another one. And I'm too cheap just to go buy one, so I just went and bought the oak. And last night I was on the table saw working to make it, and God just started speaking to me doing that. I had a lot of passes through on the table saw doing it, and the scripture came to my mind where Isaiah says, "You're the potter and I'm the clay." And that wood was just totally subject to whatever I wanted to make out of it. And God just started speaking to me through that, and it was kind of like, that's the way I'll work in your life if you just allow me. The difference of us and that piece of wood is the wood had no will. I do have a will, and I have to submit to the Lord. And there's a lot of different areas where we have to submit to God in our lives, and finances is just one of them. And so I just encourage you this morning that whatever God says to you in your generosity, would you just do whatever God tells you to do and submit your will to Him? And it's not just in finances, it's every area of your life. If God wants you to help and hope distribute it and be part of that ministry, just submit to God and allow Him. He's got a perfect plan for your life. His word tells us, He says to us, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you hope and to prosper you." So I just encourage you with that today, that as He reveals to you His will, just walk in that and obey Him. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we know that You are a loving Heavenly Father, and Your plans for us are perfect. So today, we just want to say out loud, we submit ourselves to Your will and to Your way, and we desire today that You will use us exactly for what You designed us for. And I pray that our lives will matter, mostly because we've accomplished with our life what You designed for us. And Lord, as they were singing in that last song, I want to be ready for that day when You will appear in my life. Some of us, You will appear because this life has ended and You appear to us. Yet for some of us, You may appear in the sky, and we want to be ready for that day. Lord, we love You. And now we pray that You'll take our tithes and offerings today and that You'll use it to build up Your kingdom. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen. Thank you, ushers, for helping us this morning continue in worship. Hey, I know many of you were here throughout the weekend, and I think we had over 700 that were here between Friday and Saturday. We give praise for that. And we're believing that souls matter. We love having Chapmans here, and we would love to just have them come, but that's not really the reason this morning that they're here. They came to serve on Sunday morning, but we had them here because we believe in not just having a dinner where people come together and eat. We really wanted the message of Christ to be proclaimed, and it was. And so we're grateful for that. We're grateful that people that weren't sure about this Jesus, they came and they encountered Him this weekend, and so we're grateful for that today. I had a verse on my heart as we get ready to close this morning. It's the verse that keeps playing from time to time, and it's from 1 Thessalonians, and it says, "The one who calls you is faithful, He will do it." I hear the Lord tell me that all the time when I doubt Him. So, the one who calls you is faithful, He will do it. But what I'm most encouraged about, and this is what reminded me this morning as Annie was sharing, that verse isn't just about losing weight or, you know, He'll do it, you know, whatever. You know, it's not about motivation. It's about our sanctification. It's about God's ability to purify our hearts and cleanse us from sin. And so what writer in 1 Thessalonians is saying is that God Himself will sanctify you through and through, your whole body, spirit, mind, kept blameless. Oh, by the way, the one who calls you is faithful, and He'll do it. And so I pray that encourage you this morning. As you prepare to go, a couple reminders. We have a college connection. So after the first and second service, or after this service, if you're a college student here, we just want you to stop by for a moment behind the elevator. Pastor Billy would love to greet you. We have some things coming up that are really good for college students. So we would love for you to just stop by for a minute. And There's no sales pitch being given, just a little bit of information and just a way to say thank you for being here. Also, in that same vein, we want you to know all generations are welcome at the well today after the service. We have leaders, volunteers right now that would love to pray with you just about something that's going on. I prayed with our pastors this morning as the service was preparing. I said, the people that come to church on a day like today really want to be here. Because, and I'm not faulting, you know, in a minute people will be watching on Facebook and I'll shame them a little bit. But not really, you know. I mean, that's okay. But the people that are here this morning, you really wanted to be here. So maybe you're here and you just have a need. And before you get in your car to go home, you would say, I'd love for someone to just lift this up in prayer. There's somebody right now moving into place that would love to pray for you. We have first-time visitors in the back of the room. There's a gift for you. Would you stop and grab one of those? We're so glad you're here. Thanks for joining us today. And we always want to remind you about Celebrate Recovery on Mondays. Well, this morning as we prepare to go, something that's a little heavy on our hearts, Pastor Jim, who was a big part of bringing Steve and Annie here and putting our sportsman's dinner on, left yesterday to go be with his father, who was in bad health, and we got word this morning. Pastor Jim told us that he passed away last evening. So I know you'd want to know that because you love Jim. Jim knows where his dad is. He didn't lose him. But I know this morning that you would want to be in prayer for Jim and Deb and the family. Some are still in the process of traveling to be down in Alabama. So I thought it would be appropriate for us as his church family this morning as we close in prayer to lift up Pastor Jim. We've been talking about family this morning, right? So would you bow your heads with me? And today, Jim's not with us in the room, but he represents a family. And you might be new in the room today, and you may not know how this works, but we just love and believe that God has gifted us community for a reason. And so I'm going to pray for Pastor Jim. You may have a need in your life today. Well, we've already offered an opportunity to pray with you. We believe we need each other. And so would you bow your heads? Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask and pray and believe that your presence is right there with Pastor Jim and Deb and the family. We know that there are many in this room that have lost loved ones. There are many in this room that have walked that road. But we also know, Lord, that his pain is so unique to his own heart today. And so we don't have words to say, but we pray to the one who is the Prince of Peace. We pray to the one who is present right there. You are a ever-present help in times of trouble. So that means even now, Lord, you are present with him. And so we just pray as the church body that we would surround him and love him. Lord, we know that he's not the only one suffering today. There are others in the room. And so we ask that your presence would be undeniable in our midst today. We love you, Lord. We thank you that you first loved us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. As you go, please be safe. A couple of us were out there throwing salt and sand around so you wouldn't slip slide. But if you need assistance getting to your car, please stop by the front doors. We have some greeters that would love to help you get to your vehicle. We love you. Thanks for being here today.